You remember Christopher Cross. Arthur, he does as he pleases. But we're here to talk about sailing, and we do it every Tuesday at 9:40 with SailSportTalk.com's Karen Lyle. Karen co-hosting with me. And Karen, we're going to go to an interview that you've done in just a few minutes, but we know that the Vendée Global Classic is getting underway here in a few days. What's the buzz like?
Well, you know, this is such a big deal. I had no idea before I went to Paris. They have over 1 million people that come to this race village that they've set up. And I don't know, in America, do we have like these sticker books where all of the, you know, that are put out and people collect stickers and put them in a book about the, you know, football or F1 sports or things like that?
That's a Panini. That's mostly soccer, but we've had them here, but they didn't really catch on. We like the hard, like, football cards.
Ah, well, they have a sticker album for the Vendée Globe put out by Panini. And so they gave it to all the media, and this was my first time actually seeing this. And so evidently, so there's 40 skippers that are going out on this race. And I think the first time that you encountered the Vendée Globe was before you and I ever met, wasn't it? Tell us about that.
It was 20 years ago. Bruce Schwab from Marin County, he called me on his satellite phone once a week, and it was very interesting because you would check his mood, and he'd sometimes he had gone through a place where he had to stay awake because there were like logs in the water. There were times when he hadn't had any sleep. Sometimes he would have a good day. But it was actually, I don't know, I thought it was kind of a cool national exclusive to check in by satellite phone each week on the Vendée.
Right. And so that has evolved. It's the first time that you encountered it, in that now they have this this race village that's set up, and people come and travel, and they have like all of these different you know, supporting materials that go along with the romance of all of these 40 skippers who go out. And there's like 41 different countries, of nationalities, languages of media people who come and are following this race. There are ways in which people can choose the different racers they want to listen to. They're going to broadcast the beginning of the race on the 10th. It's about 4.5 days from now. And so there's so much engagement because it is a solo sport that has the kind of attention that teams have, which just really intrigues me because I just wouldn't expect that from people who are solo circumnavigating the globe.
So I would doubt it's like the Olympic Village where you have thousands of people and it's kind of like a nightclub. Is it a little more serene?
No, it is like that. It's set up, and the America's Cup was like that too. We had 1.2 million people that were there. There were parties at night. There was, you know, all kinds of food vendors. I mean, it was like a festival, and that's what it is for the Vendée Globe as well. It's just, you know, the whole country is involved, but Sablé-Lyon, and you probably can say that better than I.
Well, you know. I was talking about, like, at the Olympic Village, you have thousands of athletes. So what I meant was, since there's only solo sailors, it's probably not a party for them, I would say.
Well, you know, they are preparing for their trip. So it is true that they do have official duties. Most of that was before. That's why in September they had the media conferences happening, you know, a full month and a half, 2 months before the event, because they have a lot to do. They're going out on this voyage on a boat by themselves. So there's 40 boats, but once they leave the dock and they're on their way, they can't come back to shore and get something, you know, that they forgot. They, you know, they basically have to continue on that journey around the world, and anything that they do to stop or you know, touch home on land basically ends the race for them. So it's a big deal.
All right. So we have a interview did with is it Oliver Heyer?
Oliver here, and he is from Switzerland. He's actually the first person from Switzerland, a Swiss nationality, to compete in the Vendée Globe race. And he was very enthusiastic to talk to me about his preparations. And I this is his first time doing the Vendée Globe as a solo skipper. He was actually, on the boat that hit a an obstacle in the water and had to abandon when
right.
Alex Thompson was almost winning.
All right, well, let's go to that interview right now.
This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk on Sports Byline, and I'm here with Oliver here, and he is in the Vandeglobe racing for...
Tut Gut Sailing.
And you are representing which country?
I am from Switzerland.
It's such a pleasure to have you be able to talk to me in English, because most of the sailors here speak in French, but you also speak both languages, I take it.
Yes, exactly. So the sport is very French-based. So I do live in France. So I speak a bit of French. I do speak English and I do speak German. I'm multilingual.
And so tell us where you come from in both Germany and Switzerland.
So I grew up near Zurich, and I went through normal school education, studied business, but then in my early 20s decided that business and an office job is not for me, and went down the professional sailing route, and 12 years later I'm here to the start of the Vandeglobe.
And is this your first Vandeglobe?
Yes, it is. As a sailor, it's my first Vandeglobe. The last Vandeglobe, I was the boat captain of Alex Thompson on board the Hugo Boss boat. So I know the Amoca circuit and the Vandeglobe very well, but as a sailor, it's my first edition.
So I remember it with Alex Thompson. So which journey was that?
Well, that was the 2020 Vandeglobe, where he started, and he was, at times in the lead. Unfortunately, he had a collision with an unidentified object off Cape Town and had to retire from the race. Yeah, so bad luck for Alex that time around.
Well, and I'm hoping that you're not going to hit an unidentified object in the water either. So you have prepared for this. Tell us a little bit about your boat.
So my boat is a more traditional boat. It's already made it round the world 3 times solo. So it's quite a solid, well-proven platform. And we've done a lot of upgrades to it. We'll see. I think if we've made the right decisions, smart decisions over the last couple of years, and I don't make any stupid mistakes and don't run out of a little bit of luck, I should make it round in an all right performance.
Tell us a little more of the technical details about your boat.
Well, so the Amoca 60s, they are basically, it's a monohull designed for solo sailing. So it's 60 foot long. The mast is 30 meters high. We've got quite a lot of sail area, so 620 square meters, which is over 2 tennis courts. So it's made all about performance and not much about comfort. But the trip is not about comfort, but it's about getting around the world solo as quickly as we can.
This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk, and we are broadcasting to our 100 million person audience out there, all the Salesport and other sports fans on Sports Byline, to 168 countries. And I'm here with Oliver here, and he is representing Tut Gut Sailing. And tell me, this is your sponsor?
Yes, exactly. Our title sponsor is Burgerstein Vitamin. It's a nutrition company from Switzerland, from Zurich. And their slogan is Tut Gut, which means it's good for you. So yeah, it's good for you, sailing team.
As you were preparing for this race, looking at the mechanical end of it and also survival as far as what food you're taking, can you give us a few little stories about your preparation?
Well, it's not easy. One of the rules of the race is if I take anything on board after the start of the race, I'm automatically disqualified. So that means you have to provision and plan for any eventuality. That goes from or starts with spare parts and repair materials. We have to think very well what we're taking along on the journey. Other things like food. So we will provision the boat for 100 days, so about 10% extra. But you have to take everything with you, including your toothbrush and the toilet roll and the toothpaste and everything else you need. So you need to have a good packing list to make sure you don't forget anything ashore.
And do you find that you talk to the other sailors as well who've been on the Vandeglobe, or is this a solo preparation journey?
No, not at all. First of all, I'm surrounded by a big team. I couldn't do the preparations on my own. So that's one source of information, the guys working with me, but then also the teams among each other, we kind of try to help each other as far as we can without intruding too much. And then I can also draw my previous experience with the Hugo Boss team to make sure that I kind of pack smart. And with all these kind of sources, I hope that I can make the right decisions.
What was your preparation for the Vandeglobe?
It depends. Well, it consists of lots of different aspects. One is the technical aspect, so you have to prepare the boat, make sure the boat is ready. And then I have to prepare myself, meaning I have to be physically and mentally quite fit and ready for the challenge. And then it's the thing between the boat and myself, that we work together well as a team, and that I'm happy with the boat, and that I'm not stressed all the time, even in challenging conditions. And then the last bit is the business side of it. So you need to have solid funding for it. So time's the critical resource. You're always busy preparing for a Vendée Globe race.
And also, having to tell the story and talking to media is a preparation also in itself. Have you had other speaking experience?
Not really other speaking experience, but yes, you do speak with the media a lot. It's part of the game. Without the media, you'll struggle to offer a proper return to your sponsors. So media work is definitely part of the daily job.
Have you a particular thing that you're hoping does not happen on this trip?
Well, the last thing I want is having a technical or a difficulty or a medical incident where I am forced to retire. The last thing I want to see is myself sailing into, I don't know, Cape Town, Australia or New Zealand or South America just because of some incident and I had to retire. So I very much hope that I can step on board in Les Ables d'Olonne and sail around the world and then step off my boat when I'm back in Les Ables d'Olonne.
Well, this is a very grand journey for you, and I'm wishing you the very best on this journey and hoping that we can follow you a little bit along the way.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk signing off with Oliver here.
Cheers.